Hello, it is 4:01, and we're calling to order the Finance Committee of the San Diego City Council. Today is Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025. Kelly Clark, will you please take the roll?
Mayor Gonzalez.
Present.
Councilmember Figueroa Bolton.
Present.
Councilmember Aguilar.
Present.
Okay, so at this point in time, would you please make your announcement?
After each agenda item is presented, the mayor will ask for committee member comments and then take public comment. You will have 2 minutes for your comment. A countdown timer will appear for the convenience of the speaker and attendees.
Okay, so at this point in time, we'll proceed with item 2A, which is the request for approval for one-time carryover appropriations. And we've got Director Nicole Gonzalez here.
Good evening, Mayor and committee members. Nicole Gonzalez, Finance Director. The item before you this afternoon is the review and consideration of carryover adjustments for fiscal year 2025 into fiscal year 2026. So the item for you is a request, as I stated, for to carry forward or carry over any unspent funds from fiscal year 25 to the current fiscal year 2026. And so as a reminder, these are budgeted amounts that were authorized as part of the budget process or throughout the fiscal year 2025. What we are requesting this evening or this afternoon is a reappropriation request to maintain funding from previously approved council operating initiatives that are in progress but are not yet either entered into a contractual obligation or encumbered in a purchase order. So again, these are not new requests coming before you, but ultimately just a request to carry over and continue to move forward with the council approved initiatives and will not ultimately impact or change the fund balance based on what was previously approved. So at this point, I'm going to be turning it over to Felicia Silva, Assistant Finance Director, who will provide more detail on the various carry forward requests as it relates to the general fund, and then also related to non-general fund funds, such as special revenue funds, enterprise, and internal service funds.
Felicia Silva, Assistant Finance Director, Mayor's member of the Finance Committee. We will take a look at our general fund carryover requests. So ultimately, we're requesting to carry over a little under $3 million. And taking it from top to bottom, the first carryover request is coming from City Council, and it's regarding fiscal year 25 unspent City Council transportation and training funds. That are to be carried over into a shared pool per the council handbook. Second, we have our five-year commitment to Llewellyn interim housing operations support at $2.6 million. And then library also has some donation-funded program expenditures from Alta D. Davis and Friends of the Library of $17,000. And police has next-gen 911 phone upgrade funding that we would like to carry over as the project is required by the state in Stone Rock. Right. And now moving on over to non-general fund carryover requests, we've got enterprise funds, special revenue funds, internal service funds here in this slide. And we're going to start with our special revenue funds, and we've got a request to carry over some funds from the Heron Bay Fund, and that's for the marshland hydrology study, a little under $100,000 there. And then for our maintenance for that's required and is provided by the Alameda County Public Works, we're requesting to carry over $56,700. SB1 funding is related to our pavement work, and so we're requesting to carry over $21,000 for asphalt and other street supplies. And now moving on into our enterprise funds, we're requesting to carry over $44,000 related to the Water Pollution Control Plant Fund, and these are for restricted hazardous waste works project settlement actions. Stormwater Fund, requesting a carryover $161,000 related to stormwater compliance program development work that is required. And now moving on to our internal service funds, we request from the IT department to carry over $104,000 for the continuation of phase two of our network equipment upgrades. Additionally, we have a request to carry over $408,000 for our Acela system go live support and enhancements, and then $450,000 for our ERP implementation that's still in progress. And then finally, we have Public Works that's requesting a carryover $114,000 related to an asphalt roller. All in all, again, across enterprise funds, internal service funds, as well as our special revenue funds, we're requesting a carryover $1,459,000. And with that, we are happy to answer any committee questions and take any feedback. Our action request from the committee today is that we ask the committee to recommend the carryover budget adjustments to the full city council for consideration and adoption.
Thank you. So this point, I'll take any public comment on this item.
There are no public comments.
So we'll close public comment and come back to council or committee members for questions and commentary. Okay, seeing none, is there a motion to make the recommendation? Councilor O'Farrell, Councilor Regulay?
So moved.
Councilor Lewis Walton?
Second.
Okay, so you do have consensus from this committee to move forward as requested. We'll move, go to item 2B, please. So here we've got a review or statement of investment policy, and I think we still have Director Gonzalez presenting this item.
Thank you. Again, good afternoon. Nicole Gonzalez, Finance Director. The item before you this afternoon is a little bit of a two-part. I would like to take the opportunity to introduce Monique Spike with PFM Asset Management. The city recently engaged investment management services with PFM Asset Management in the summer of 2025. And the item for you this afternoon will provide a review of the city's current investment policy, along with proposed changes, an overview of the city's portfolio benchmark and the strategy which is being implemented, as well as just kind of a brief update on economic updates. So with that, I'd like to introduce Monique Spike, who will walk us through the presentation.
Good afternoon, Mayor Gonzalez and members of the Finance Committee. It's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon. As Finance Director Gonzalez stated, I'll be talking through the investment policy review that we completed on behalf of the city. We'll talk about the portfolio benchmark and strategy recommendations, and I'll make some short comments about the economy. First, we'll start with the investment policy. PFM Asset Management, in coordination with the city, conducted a very thorough and exhaustive review of the city's investment policy. The first thing I'll note is that the city's investment policy was well-written and comprehensive. The changes that we made were meant to do a few things. One, bring the language in compliance or current with California government code. Two, bring the policy in line with best practices for California public agencies. We wanted to help increase the clarity of the policy. And lastly, to help increase investment opportunities in certain sectors. I'll go through each of these right now. With regard to the policy recommendations, we had some significant edits to bring the language in line with California government code We do note that the edits that we made did not alter what the state was allowed to invest in. It simply reiterated the California government code language verbatim. The reason to do that is to increase clarity. If the state did not have restrictions beyond what the California government code allowed, we felt that it would be imperative to be consistent with the exact code language to reduce any misunderstandings. The sectors that this impacted were commercial paper, mortgage-backed and asset-backed securities, supranational debt, which is an odd word for investment types, for example, like the World Bank, etc., and other investment pools, which are pooled funds allowed for California local agencies to invest in. The other policy recommendation we made was to bring the policy in line with best practices. The California Municipal Treasurers Association has a model policy of best practices for California public agencies. And in that guidance, it suggests certain categories that are invested in the policies. And so we recommended that some language be moved, particularly investment pools and mutual funds. We have a recommended separate session for investment policy adoption. And we expanded other sections in the policy with regard to collateralization for certain investment types and performance standards. These changes are meant to, again, clarify and highlight these particular aspects of the policy. So when you have constituents who are looking at the policy online, it's very easy for them to follow these particular standards. We also wanted to increase clarity of the policy. And so in some cases, we consolidated some paragraphs or language that were talking about the same thing into one paragraph. There were some sections where there was language addressing certain investment types that were not allowed by the state's policy. And in the socially responsible investing category, we added very specific language on how we would meet the city's social responsible investing goals to align with the screening process that we will be adopting as the city's investment manager. We also wanted to add language to the policy to allow for some additional investment types. One, we increased investment opportunities in agency mortgage-backed securities. These are federal agency securities like Fannie Mae, like Freddie Mac, that are backed by specific pools of mortgages but are still guaranteed by Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. We also added for investment in negotiable CDs, which is a type of bank instrument that is a certificate of deposit. And so in some cases, higher credit quality than a typical corporate note, and very attractive investment for California local agencies. We also increased the investment opportunities in municipal obligations, essentially expanding the city's ability to buy municipal bonds from other local agencies in the state of California and other state-level agencies across the country. It's okay with Mayor Gonzalez and the Finance Committee. I can pause for questions about the investment policy or continue through the presentation and have questions at the end. Okay, well, let's talk about the portfolio benchmarking strategy. So we wanted to talk about the portfolio benchmark because that is the yardstick by which we will be measured in terms of performance. It's also the guide that's going to help determine the strategy that we implement on behalf of the city. Benchmarks provide a good basis of comparison for risk and return. It's important that it should be an independent metric that folks will be able to independently look at. Sometimes benchmarks are a mix of different credit types, different sectors, or baselines such as a Treasury Index. In California, many local agencies prefer Treasury Index benchmarks because it provides a great baseline of what we're diversifying in. And then lastly, of course, it reflects realistic performance standards. Speaking with city staff, we talked about a number of different benchmarks, and this table is meant to provide you with an example of the different types of benchmarks that are utilized by California local agencies or that can be considered by California local agencies. This chart is organized from the shortest duration to the longest duration within the concept of the California Government Code. One of the things I will note is that the shorter duration strategies tend to reduce risk, and I have a great chart on the next slide that shows that a little bit. But over the years, this table goes back 20 years, the shorter duration strategies provided the least amount of return on an annual basis. And so the percentages in the middle column are essentially the average annual rates of return for each of these strategies. The longer you go on average, the more return you expect. We also note in the last column, we talk about quarters with negative return. This is tracked in total return, meaning that we're looking at the income, which is always positive for the investments. However, the market value or the price changes can be negative. And as you can see, there were 80 quarters over the last 20 years. The shortest duration strategies have the least amount of quarters with negative returns. But as you go out longer, the longer term strategies have more quarters with negative returns, which simply means that the market value exceeded income in that one quarter. That's important because as we go along, we will be reporting to the city on a total return basis as well as income. And so that has some implications. This chart is a great graphic of what I just described. I'm going to direct your attention to the darkest blue, which is the 0 to 1 year treasury index, and the orange. And this is just a great graphic of the volatility. Longer duration strategies, again, have a little bit more ups and downs because the market value or the price of the securities change the most when interest rates change. Now, we mentioned that just to say that there may be some quarters if you go with longer strategies, or if you implement longer strategies, that you'll see some negative returns. But over time, they do smooth out because although you have lower lows, you also have higher highs with regard to the return. And the benefits of utilizing some longer-term strategies, of course, mean you're able to pick up higher income investments on the longer end of the yield curve. So we drilled down to the types of strategies that we're generally considering for our clients. We have a snapshot here that shows some government and corporate indices, essentially just showing the difference between having treasury-only benchmark and adding government or corporate securities to those benchmarks. The one thing I will point out is that, again, the majority of our public agency clients do use treasury indices, and that's because not only do they want to see the difference between treasuries and what their diversified portfolios do, but also because the government corporate indices that are available generally comprise about 70% treasuries anyway. And that's just because treasuries are the dominant investment type available in these maturity ranges. I also note that corporate government indices do have fewer quarters of negative return, mainly due to the increased income in those sectors available versus treasury securities. Now, for the city, one of the things we've worked with staff on is transitioning the city's benchmark from the 1 to 3 year U.S. Treasury Index, what they were using previously, to the 0 to 5 year Treasury Index. We have the same information with regard to the past 20 years, so you can get a sense of the return. One of the things is you'll note the 0 to 5 year treasury index is a slightly longer duration at 2.05 years versus 1.84 years. The average return over the past 20 years, each year is much higher than the 1 to 3 year return. But we only have two additional quarters of negative return. In the bottom right, you can see the maturity structure of the 1 to 3 year index and the maturity structure of the 0 to 5, which is in yellow. One of the reasons we recommend and are implementing this strategy is because it allows us to utilize the entire scale of the California Government Code, which generally allows for investments between 0 and 5 years. We're able to capture the higher yields available in the 3 to 5 year area of the yield curve, but over time. Traditionally, that has provided more income opportunities in the short term. And by utilizing the 0 to 1 year area, it allows us to mitigate some of that market value risk with allocations to the 0 to 1 year area and take advantage of some of the investment types like commercial paper. So we think this change will allow the city to maintain good income to hedge against the risk of falling rates by being able to buy some investments out on the longer end of the yield curve, while also taking advantage of the 0 to 1 year area to manage some of the risk. This strategy has been executed over the past few months. This is a simple graphic that shows where there have been maturities and sales in the light blue and where we purchased investments in the darker blue. You can see the average maturity of buys, which is sort of the middle text column, and you'll know it's 4 years, 4.6 years, 4.3 years. So we've really been focused on building out that 3 to 5 year area of the city's maturity structure. Yields today are a bit lower than they've been historically as rates are declining, but the portfolio structure and yield is still very attractive. We have this portfolio snapshot as of mid-September, and the market value is $168.3 million. The duration is right in line where we wanted it, for over 2 years, and the yield on the portfolio is 4.3%. But you can see that maturity distribution just, again, well covered across the California Government Code maturity spectrum. So we're really happy with that, all the while maintaining a fairly high credit quality. In terms of our outlook, our goal is to maintain broad diversification, not only across the yield curve, but also by sector. We will be carefully managing the risk in the portfolio, both from an interest rate standpoint and issuer credit quality. We will be meeting with the staff on a quarterly basis. We'll be providing month-end reporting and quarterly performance reports as we execute this strategy. I'll make some brief comments on the economy. I won't spend too much time here. But one of the things I do want to emphasize is right now the Fed has made a cut in September. We are anticipating 2 more rate cuts this year, which means that, you know, the assets that you have in cash and other pooled investments will come down in terms of interest rates, but it's a great time to have been locking in longer-term investments in the 3 to 5 year area that's going to help sustain investment income. And the U.S. Treasury curve is shown here. Again, we caught some additional positive slope after 2 years, but the short end is still higher. We expect, as I said, that to come down as the Fed makes its cuts by the end of December. And I will pause here for questions on the economic outlook. We're uncertain. The economy is still grappling with the tariffs and the volatility. Again, the Fed has been very clear that they're waiting for data. But again, as I mentioned a few slides ago, we're pretty confident with that 2 basis point cut. And our goal is to pay attention to the market, make sure the portfolio is diversified, and be in constant contact with your staff in the event there's anything we need to communicate. And I will pause here for questions.
Is that the end of the presentation?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for your presentation. At this point, I will take public comment on this item. Do we have any?
We do not.
We are closing public comment on this item. I'm coming back to committee members, starting with Council Member Aguilar.
Thank you so much for the presentation. Can we go to slide 12 on this, please? And I kind of wanted to get like a little more explanation with regards to the dip. What happened during February 20 and February 22? Is that COVID and recession?
Definitely. So when you see dips in the return like this, typically two things are happening. When interest rates rise, market values decline. And so anytime you see a spike in interest rates, that's when you're going to see longer-term indices have negative returns. And so if you look at these charts, these like low lows over time is when you're seeing that. And you know, shortly after COVID, there was that period where interest rates were rising rapidly in an attempt to slow down inflation, and that caused longer-term indices to really take a hit. You've had essentially the worst returns during that period because of that reason.
Gotcha. Thank you for explaining that. And then with regards to, I was looking at the policy attachment A, and there was, I believe, on page 12 as well. I had it highlighted here, but there was a number of 360 days and not 365. So I'm trying to understand. I had it highlighted, and I'll tell you what page it is on the attachment A. So kind of explain why 365 days is not listed versus 360 listed on, it's the repurchase agreements on page 8 of 18 of the San Leandro Investment Policy Statement. So the repurchase agreement indicates the legal maximum maturity on these investments is 360 days. Can you explain why it's 360 versus why it's not 365?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I will say that the repurchase agreements in particular are one of the investment types where it's defined very specifically in the bankruptcy code. And so the bankruptcy code has very specific guidelines for what repurchase agreements are going to be bankruptcy remote. And oftentimes when you see very specific metrics like 360 days, the types of collateral that are allowed for repurchase agreements, it's because it's a look back to the bankruptcy code to make sure that the language fits. So if you have investments in repos, you're able to sell the collateral immediately and take the proceeds in the event something goes awry.
Gotcha. Thank you. Thank you for explaining that. I just kind of also wanted to highlight on page 12 of the San Leandro Investment Policy Statement of 18 that socially responsible investing, it's 10-10.11. Mm-hmm. The investment policy prohibits investing in any entity that has a main business line according to revenue in any of the following industries, according to Bloomberg sectors: firearms, ammunition, explosives, coal, oil and gas services, pipelines, private corrections, and tobacco. I just wanted to highlight that, and I think that's aligned with the community that came forward to actually argue to not invest in those particular entities. So those are my questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. No questions. So we have just a few questions. Mortgage-backed securities. So they were a big source of problems in the financial meltdown. And I think they've kind of been a persona non grata, so to speak, for the investment world. Help me understand a little bit about why we would be expanding to mortgage-backed securities. What has changed in the world that makes us feel more comfortable?
So a couple of things. The mortgage-backed security market during 07 and 08 was certainly under a lot of pressure, and a lot of that had to do with the way private corporations, individual banks were packaging mortgage-backed securities and selling them to the market. Essentially, as we all know, packaging very low-grade, low-quality mortgages, putting them all together and putting them out here. In the case of the mortgage-backed securities that we're talking about here, they're very high quality. They are direct obligations of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And so technically, they're no different credit-wise from the federal agencies that we're generally allowed to invest in. The difference with the mortgage-backed securities that we're speaking of is the payment structure. And so instead of a set maturity date, let's say you have a 2-year regular federal agency security, you get like just a 9-year coupon and you get the principal at maturity. The mortgage-backed security structures are structured differently, where you get consistent payouts as the mortgages themselves mature. But the investment principal structure is guaranteed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and so your exposure is to the agency itself, and the other things are just the cash flows.
Was that the case back during the market meltdown?
During the market meltdown, those mortgage-backed securities were obligations of the private institutions. So, you know, WaMu, Washington Mutual, for example, which, you know, we know was assumed, or one other, or other financial institutions. And so credit-wise, the government code has a very clear distinction between mortgage-backed securities that are federal agencies, and actually a clarification to the government code was made just last year clarifying that the mortgage-backed securities that they're talking about in this specific section weren't referring to federal agency mortgage-backed securities, because it's a different type of mortgage-backed security and has a very different risk profile.
So I'm going to just kind of close this section on this particular thought. Mortgage-backed securities, MBS, it's hard for me to imagine that they have the same credit rating as the federal government, because if they did, we would simply invest in treasuries. And then you get a higher return because there's more risk. And so I think that we need to understand why there's a higher return. You do not get more return without more risk. That's just Econ 101. And so we need to understand why before, you know, I can be supportive of making that particular change, mortgage-backed securities. Let's talk about the benchmark. One of the concerns that I've expressed in the Finance Committee is that we're always being the benchmark, which means that it's not a good benchmark, because typically if you have a benchmark, you should do better than it sometimes and worse than it sometimes. So help me understand a little bit about how this, what we mean here by benchmark, in comparison to the benchmark that's listed on the investment return reports that we get quarterly.
Question. So I'll focus on the 0 to 5 year Treasury Index, because that's currently where we're investing. For us, the benchmark does a couple of things. It provides good guardrails around how much risk we're taking in the portfolio. And so the benchmark duration, which in this chart is 2.05, is our standard for interest rate risk that we want to take on the portfolio. And so when we report out to the city, we're going to be reporting on that duration metric. And I say that we should generally be within 10% of that. If we are any, you know, broader than that, then we're taking on more risk than we communicated to the city. That 2.0...
So I do understand. It is a benchmark for duration risk in particular.
That's
thank you. When we talk about our actual investments and our benchmark, the actual investments, I think there's been some discussion on this committee and prior regulations of this committee around achieving higher return through long-term investments. And I'm wondering, as if this policy addresses at all what I would call a scaffolding of longer term investments. So I might have all in 5-year treasuries, but 20% of those mature this year, 20% mature in 2 years, 20% mature in 3 years, 20% mature in 4 years. But they're all 5-year treasuries. Is that envisioned, encompassed, considered, prohibited by, like, how does that play out with respect to the language that we are being presented here? So in my example, hypothetical example, it would be a 2.5-year average duration, so it'd be higher than this 2.05 or 6.05, but they would, all of the underlying assets would have been
provided as a five-year instrument.
So I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor Gonzalez, what it feels like you're describing to me is the way in which you plan to manage the city's portfolio.
Exactly. So I'm trying to understand if anything in here influences or affects that in particular.
Yes, and I'll describe it this way. And so I'm going to use to describe it the 1-3 year index in the bright blue and the 0-5 year index in the yellow. If we were managing the city's portfolio to the 1-3 year index, today, if you had an investment that was close to maturity, we may take that investment and invest back out 2-3 year. And that would generally be, you know, the general max that we would consider. Maybe in some cases a 3.5 year, but generally we'd be looking at 3 year area, and that would restrict us in that way, because going much further than 3 years would, you know, be beyond the duration maximum that we were looking for. And then as time goes on, and we, you know, every month you're doing that same activity where you're taking investments and you're reinvesting them out long on the curve. The 0-5 year index gives us more flexibility, and that now we're taking those investments, you know, in the sort of 0-1 year area, and we're investing them as far out as 5 years. And so you have a really great active maturity ladder. Another thing the zero to five year does for us is it allows us flexibility where, for any reason, we don't necessarily want to release an investment and we want to hold it. This past economic cycle has been a great example of that, because as the interest rate environment was on its head, as, you know, short-term securities were providing great income opportunities, when we were in 0-5 year strategies, we were able to hold on to some of that income and invest in that part of the yield curve, rather than being restricted to a 1-3 year strategy, which, you know, didn't necessarily prohibit, but certainly discouraged investments in the 0-1 year area.
So going back to your recommendation is what?
The 0-5 year.
Thank you. We have approximately $250 million under management. Is that approximately?
We currently have in the portfolio about $168 million.
$168 million across all of our investments?
No, just across the portfolio. We're managing on behalf of the city, but we are having conversations with the city about cash flow needs.
Okay. So for the part that we are actively managing, for that money in particular, in our worst case scenarios over the last 20, 30 years, have we spent some time looking at how much did we need to draw down? Like what was the liquidity that we needed? 30% of that amount, 25, like some kind of liquidity assessment,
yeah.
Liquidity requirement.
Thank you for that question. I want to clarify that PFM Asset is a new consultant to the city. We had previously contracted with Chandler Asset Management for several years. And so the strategy that was implemented under Chandler was a 0-3 or 1-3 year strategy, really to address the city's liquidity needs. There was a change in 2024, where there was a lot more investments that were made or into this particular portfolio to really bolster our potential returns for cash flow. At the time, when we were seeing a higher return than we were seeing in LAIF. And so as a result, we were investing more in this core portfolio for liquidity needs. We found that the strategy really is better to move back to LAIF. As a result, we have not done a very thorough of how much we pulled out or withdrew for liquidity needs. It is something that we are working very closely with PFM Asset Management to make sure that we are really investing our money in the best way possible and not necessarily investing just for liquidity.
That's really useful. I'll go to city manager. Do you have some sense of the, maybe assistant city manager, whatever, about some time frame for when we might hear back on this?
So the item this evening is really to provide those proposed changes to the portfolio. PFM Asset Management has already implemented a 0 to 5 year strategy. And so when we moved our funds from Chandler to PFM Management, we did change that strategy from 0 to 5. The policy itself, if supported by this committee, will come before council for adoption in either November or December.
My question really relates to this concept of liquidity. Because it'd be useful to know when we might hear back on the results of your assessment.
Sure. So we will bring back quarter one investment portfolio to this committee. I believe it's either in November or December. And I think at that time we could bring an analysis of the cash flow.
That would be useful. Okay, so with that, you're looking for a recommendation for approval from this committee to this board of the council, correct? Okay. So do I have a motion?
Yes. So moved.
Whether we need a motion or not, I'm just looking for consensus to be really precise. So we have consensus to move this forward. So at this point in time, we'll move to our third item, which is public comment on non-agenda items. Do we have anyone from the public who wishes to address the committee?
We do not.
So do not, correct? Thank you. So we'll close that public item. Any committee member comments at this time? Seeing none.
This is just like housekeeping. I know that some of us are going to National League of Cities in Salt Lake City, and we have a finance committee scheduled for Wednesday, November 19th. That's the start of the conference. I just wanted to clarify if we will be moving the date for finance committee, since I don't know who is attending, but I will be there.
Thank you, Councilor Aguilar. That meeting date was moved from the original meeting date, which I think was the day before Thanksgiving. So as of right now, my understanding is Councilor Rivera Walton and Mayor Gonzalez will be present on the 19th. We will move forward with the meeting on the 19th.
Thank you for letting us know. So at this point in time, that is all the business of this committee. It is 4:44, and we are adjourned.
Recording stopped.
No, I'm not going.